I wonder when he's going to do it, but it'll be right on time. Amen. We wonder how he's going to do what he said he's going to do, but we know he's always going to do it right on time. Amen. And I'm thankful we serve a God like that. Turn in your Bibles with us tonight into Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Keep Brother Adam in your prayer tonight. He had to take a young man back to Virginia Beach, well, Little Creek, to the naval base tonight. And when I've driven it many a times, it was a five-hour drive then. I don't know. Today I'd probably do it a little faster because that was under the imposed 55, and they did watch 13 like hawks, amen. And they caught you military. They take your military ID if you didn't have money to pay a ticket. They'd take you to the Justice of the Peace. They would keep your military ID and tell you to come back and stop by on Sunday on your way back and pay your fine, and they would give you your ID back. Amen. So they used to watch it real hard. So pray for Brother Adam, and just pray for traveling. Amen. Keep Tanner in your prayers. I think we met him, didn't we? Yeah, I thought so. But keep Tanner in your prayer. Keep all our young people in your prayers. It's in the military. You know, here, Tyler's getting ready to head off to boot camp. And another rude awakening. But pray for him. Amen. Pray for him. And just all our young people that are serving, and those who are especially away from their families. Amen. Just pray for them. I know what that is, and it's hard. If you found Matthew chapter 21, we're going to begin reading tonight in verse number 28. And since everybody's had a hard week of Bible school and folks look like they're tired, I know I'm beat. I was planning on sneaking a nap in this afternoon, but then kids and grandkids and great-grandkids come, and that just shot that. Don't tell them, but I said, if they really love me, I told David, if they really love me, they'd just leave me alone today. Amen. And I wouldn't want to hurt their feelings by saying so, but I tell you what, I am just plumb tuckered, plumb wore out. We got up yesterday morning and had to put a bunch of straw away that we'd had for Bible school and other stuff and get that all put away. Went over to Sister Connie's and picked some fence posts up and pulled some fence posts, pulled some fence wire. Come back home, I couldn't get J.D. to do nothing. He just wanted to sit down every time I was looking at him. Amen. I was on him constantly about staying busy. I said, I'd be ashamed to let anybody know that a 60-year-old man done outworked me. Amen. Now, J.D.'s a big help to me. He does help me. But he's over there, and he can tell you, by the time we got done last night, we was both shot. We was both done. And I could have used a good rest today. Amen. And y'all just pray for this old boy. Amen. Body's wore out. Amen. If you found Matthew 28, and since you're as tired as I am, amen, we'll begin reading in chapter 21, verse number 28. And we'll begin reading, and Jesus speaking here says, "What think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, 'The first.' Jesus saith unto him, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him.'" Our Father, tonight we thank you for your word. We thank you for this day and the blessings, Lord, that you bestowed upon us. We thank you, God, for all the goodness that you give us. And Lord, just for allowing us to look to your word one more time. And Father, help us, God, to find something as an individual, each one of us, Lord, to grow on from your word tonight. And we'll praise you for what you've done and what you're doing. In Jesus' name we say amen. And folks, let me remind you again, keep that revival down Center in Burlington in your prayers. Amen. I tell you what, when you look on the internet and see it, it's just exciting. 40 minutes, an hour before service starts, the tent is already filled as people are anticipating what God's going to do. I tell you what, I'm glad to see revival break out anywhere like that. Amen. And God's moving and God's saving souls. And we have our text before us tonight, and how we see Jesus giving the parable, giving the lesson of the two sons. And you know, we can put this in a physical realm, but let's move this into where Jesus was teaching it, into the spiritual realm. There's, you know, two kinds of people, basically, that Jesus is talking about here, that Jesus is teaching about, and he wants those who are hearing to grasp the lesson. There are those who may be reluctant, but yet they do, and there are those who say they're going to do something that never follow through and never do what is needed. And we have that in our church today. These same people that were in this church must have passed on that gene, and we have it in the church today, amen. Some who hear the word and they believe and they want to do what God wants them to do, and others that say they believe but don't do a thing, amen. Our churches are filled with them, amen. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, amen. They come into church, they go through the motions, they want everybody to see them, they look pretty, and they go back into the world doing the same old things that they've done. But I want to look at three perspectives here, and the first being the fathers. The Bible says in verse 28 that God said, that Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." First, we want to see who he was addressing. He was speaking to his son. Who would have had a greater vested interest in going to work in the vineyard than his sons? Who should have been more anxious to see to it that the work was getting done than his sons? Amen. Because they had a vested interest in what was going to take place, and they should have been excited about what was going to happen. And you know, the Bible tells us about hirelings. Jesus talks about that. In John chapter number 10, he said, "But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep." And we can put that in the realm that Jesus is teaching here. You can get a hireling, but a hireling doesn't have as much an interest in what's going on. He's just there for a paycheck. He's just there to accomplish what he needs and as much as he needs. And that's all he's worried about, is what his needs are. And he's not caring about the vineyard. He's not caring about what happens tomorrow or the next day, because he'll go down the road somewhere else and get a job. But Jesus is addressing the father is addressing his children, his sons, and they should have a vested interest. Folks, tonight, the church, the children of God, we have a vested interest in what Jesus has instructed us to do. We have a vested interest in leading souls to Jesus Christ. We have a vested interest in seeing the church come together, and the church being built, and the church expanding to the glory of God. We have an interest in that, and there are rewards. Amen. There's a payday that's coming. We don't do what we do for the ability to work our way into heaven, but we do what we do to the honor and glory of God. The Bible says there's crowns that we can win, that we'll have to lay at the Savior's feet to honor and glorify him as we worship in the glory world. But then he says, he addressed his sons, but then he talked about a word that so many people were scared of. Work. Amen. A lot of folks are scared of that work. Amen. Heard a fellow tell me one time, work doesn't bother him a bit. He could sit down and watch it for hours. Amen. And that's the way a lot of folks are. A lot of folks want to sit around and watch everybody else work. Amen. You remember the story of the little red hen? wanted somebody to help her plant the field and do all this. No, nobody wanted to do anything, but they all wanted to reap the benefits. Amen. The father said, son. And then the next thing he says from his perspective is, there's work to be done. There's a lot of folks who talk about the ministry and ministering, but not a lot of folks in the ministry are carrying out the work that needs to be done to sustain the ministry. Amen. Not a lot of folks in our churches are doing what needs to be done. Proverbs 19:15 says, there are many idle sons in the father's house. And he says it like this. He said, the idle soul shall suffer hunger. You know why our churches are starving today? Amen. Because there's a lot of idle sons in the father's house. Amen. There's a lot of folks who aren't working. There's a lot of folks who aren't honoring God with what their abilities are and what they can do, and they're finding excuses not to do it. And the Bible said right here that the father specifically asked for the son to go and to work in the vineyard because there was a need that needed to be fulfilled, and no one had a better vested interest in it than them. No one else was going to care for the work like them. Let me ask you, when was the last time you heard the bartender somewhere in a bar tell somebody about Jesus? I didn't think so. Amen. When was the last time you heard that individual in the grocery store that you wanted to smack in the mouth, cussing and dropping the horrible curse words? The F-bomb seems to be the favorite word of choice today. And even in public, they don't have enough sense and enough couth to keep that. There was a day not too many years ago when you only heard words like that, maybe in a crass situation, in a crass place around work. Like I work around, I hear it all the time, but now it's commonplace. When's the last time you heard one of them tell somebody about Jesus? Didn't think so. Amen. Who's going to be able to do the work that needs to be done for the kingdom of God if God's people aren't the ones that are doing it? Amen. Who's going to tell somebody that Jesus loves them when somebody in the world is cussing them to where a fly wouldn't light on them? Amen. Who's going to tell somebody who's down and out in their luck, who's down and out in the sin that they've dropped to, and the level that they've fallen to, and nobody else wants anything to do with them, if God's people don't take up the mantle and say, we're going to do the work? Amen. Jesus said, look, I got a work for you. I got a job for you. Go into the world and tell people. Go into the world and share the gospel message. Go into the world and make converts. There's a job to be done. And there's no time for us to be idle. And there's no reason for us to be idle because there's so much work to do. There's so much work that we can never accomplish all that needs to be done. After all, didn't he say that the fields are white unto harvest? Amen. There's work to be done. And there's work that needs to be done. And then look at the urgency of the work. He said today. Amen. Today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. We don't have a promise of waiting until tomorrow to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen? We have the opportunity that we have today. We don't know that Jesus isn't going to come before this service is over. Today is the time. Today is when we need to be doing it. The urgency of the work is lost to many people. Many people were procrastinate a lot of foolishness, a lot of nonsense, like reading letters from, you know, this and that and everything else. And I procrastinated in that because I hate reading all the nonsense. You got to read 50 million words to find the five that you need. Amen. They got to write you a five-page letter to tell you what they could have told you in one sentence. And I procrastinate with reading all that junk. But there's an urgency. Man, I see a bill that says IRS on it. You ever get them letters in the mail that says IRS and they're fake junk? But man, your heart goes, you know, know, I'm ripping that sucker open to see how bad I'm going to get smacked by the IRS or something. I don't know, you know. And it just, there's an urgency to it. Amen. There's something that we see is needed. We see that the harvest truly is plenteous and the laborers are few. So that makes the work even more urgent for those who are going to work. The Father's perspective. Is there something that his sons had a vested interest in that needed to be done? And who better to trust it to than them? But then we see his son's perspective, the son number one. The Bible says in verse 29, he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and went. You know, sometimes we're reluctant to do something. But when we ponder on it for a few moments, we realize that God never asked us to do anything. He never asked us to go anywhere. But he's like so many of us that sometimes we know there's something that's been required of us and we're reluctant to do it. And he said, I will not. But afterward, he repented. His father had asked him to go and to work in his vineyard that day. And he refused to go. And he decided to tell his father no. But then the Bible says after his refusal, he repented. I believe he reflected on the goodness of his father and what his father's intent was and what his father had instructed him in all his life. And the Bible says to honor thy father and thy mother that thy days might be long upon the earth. And he realized that refusing to do what his father wanted him to do was going to be unpleasing unto the father. And the Bible says he repented. Sometimes God has a job for us to do and we don't want to do it. Sometimes God, I tell you what, God called me to preach and I put off. I tried to do everything else but what God wanted me to do. But when I repented of my refusal to do what God wanted me to do, I found peace in my life. Amen. I tell you what, God doesn't make mistakes when he chooses you. Sometimes we say, no, God, I can't do that. That's for somebody else. No, God, I can't do that. That's for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. No, God, I'm not going to do that. That's too scary. That's too hard. But if we think on it for a bit, we realize God has never put anybody in any place where his grace was unable to sustain them. Amen. The saying says the will of God won't lead you where the grace of God can't keep you. Amen. He'll never have you witness and testify. He'll never have you sing or preach or teach. He'll never have you go into a foreign land as a missionary or on a missions trip. He'll never have you do anything where he's unable to keep you by his grace. Amen. And I think that son reflected on all that the dad had done and all that the dad had given him and how he had refused his dad and he went to the vineyard to work. In 1 Samuel, we read about Saul and his rebellion. You know, sometimes we all, anybody here that has never said no to God? I didn't think so. We all rebel. We all refuse. We all bull up sometimes and reject what God wants us to do. And Saul was like that. Saul, he got hard-headed. He was self-willed. He was self-serving in what he was doing. Because God had given him a position. God had brought him to a place. And he began to do things his own way. And Samuel came and Samuel confronted Saul in the midst of his refusal and his rebellion. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15 it says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of God? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as the iniquity and adultery. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. You know, God wants to use each and every one of his children. God has a purpose for you being here. And it's not just to sit idly by and let someone else work. God has work for you to do. And God says, will you work in my vineyard today? Will you work and will you toil and will you labor on my behalf and for my cause and for my purposes? Because I've asked you to. And so many times we say, no, God, I'm too busy with something else. No, God, I got something else to do. And the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And this young man thought about this and he repented. I tell you what, if God's dealing with you about doing something and you haven't been doing it, just repent, surrender and submit and do what God wants you to do and get over it. And you'll find it brings a greater peace in your life. It brings a greater joy in your life. Son number two, in verse 30, and he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. You know, we got a lot of folks in our churches like that. We got a lot of God's children make everybody think that they're doing something. They want God to think that they're doing something. Now, they're not fooling God, but they might fool the preacher. Amen. They're not fooling God, but they might fool the rest of the church members. But God's right in tune with them. God knows who's doing what, when, where, and why. And the one son said, I won't go, repented and then went. The other one said, I will go. And he didn't do anything. He didn't go. And that's the problem. A lot of people come to the house of God on Sunday morning and they want to call on God. They want God in their time of trouble. They want God in their time of need. They want God in their time of difficulties, but they'll leave the house of God and they have no time for God and no service for God once they leave the house of God, and they think they've got God fooled, but he's right on tune. He's right on them. He knows right what's going on. And Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But listen, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You can talk a good line, but it's not what you say that counts. I'm going to have to get the words to that song, and we're going to have to learn it. You know, you talk talks, and you walk walks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Amen? Isn't that the truth? Amen. A lot of people say things, and a lot of people try to promote things, but then you look at their life and the two don't add up. Amen. Jesus said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter in, but he that doeth the will of my Father. He that is obedient and he that follows through. Son number one had a rebellious spirit, but repented and went and done what the Father told him to do. Son number two had a lying spirit and said, I'm going to do it, and then didn't do a thing about it. Didn't do anything to help the cause. Now Jesus asked the question, and now we see the Lord's perspective. Now we see our Heavenly Father's view of what has transpired. Whether of them twain did the will of his Father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. our Heavenly Father sees our hearts and knows our lives. And He knows who's putting on the dog. Amen. And He knows who's putting on the yoke. Amen. What's the difference? One's an actor and the other one's a worker. One's pretending and the other one's carrying it out. One's making a big to-do and a big hoo-ha and the other one is wearying themselves. Paul told the Philippians not to get to the place where they're weary and well-doing. But so many are getting weary and well-doing because so many aren't doing anything. In James, he says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Listen. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Simple question tonight. If you were this man's son, or if this story had been about this man's daughters, which one are you? Earnestly, which one are you? Honestly, which one are you? Which one are you? Because you are this man's son and this man's daughter. Because it wasn't the man that was teaching. It was God incarnate giving us a picture of our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father. And tonight as we stand, our heads are bowed, our eyes.